You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to another Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, your hosts here, Cole Molesky, Trey Flynn, bring you daily Timberwolves content. And today, it's just going to be a quick show. We're going to talk about the Orlando Magic and the Timberwolves' start to this home series here, this two-game little home stint they have over the weekend. But first, I can't believe we did not get to this. We're talking about after the show right away. I can't believe we didn't get to this yesterday. But Derrick Rose is like one of the top all-star candidates right now in voting.
Yeah, man. NBA Twitter lost their mind with his Derrick Rose, nomination into the All-Star game from just, fan voting, of course. I think they have 50% of the voting, and then it's 25% for media and analysts and 25% for players and coaches.
Yep.
So that's fantastic. I'm really happy for Rose. I wasn't too happy to not see Towns' name up there too much on, the All-Star ballot. Also, just like NBA Twitter sphere, I didn't really see Towns' name being thrown out around a lot. But I'm happy for Rose. He's been resilient all season long. It's too bad, mid-injury during this announcement. But, to see a Western backcourt of Stephen Curry and Derrick Rose, I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, and just that, I don't know. Like, you knew that there were a pretty big following of Derrick Rose loyalists and Derrick Rose faithfuls, but I don't know. I didn't think that he was impressing people to this extent. That said, I don't know. Is it too much to say it feels like he kind of deserves this kind of recognition? It's just, if you think about the last 3 years and what Derrick Rose has kind of been battling through on and off the court, for him to come full circle and not only be the teammate he is, but also play the way he is, I don't know. I love it. I feel like it's well-deserved. I know there's a lot of, or at least I've seen quite a bit of backlash about how this is why you can't have fan votes, because fans don't understand and they don't really know who should go in. They don't really see the best players. I don't know. I think when you're taking into perspective what Derrick Rose has fought through and kind of the way he's changed his game to not only play this well and efficiently, but be this type of teammate, I think it's deserved. I really do.
Yeah, I think when people are saying the fans, shouldn't really have as much of a say, they're really saying that more towards, and it's unfortunate they're saying it about Derrick Rose because he is having a great season, borderline all-star season, almost like an all-star reserve season. I think they're more saying that towards like guys like Vince Carter, who got a lot of votes, and maybe even Dwayne Wade. He's done a lot of good things for Miami, but shouldn't be an all-star, even with the history of him as a player. But Derrick Rose as a reserve all-star this year with guys like, Dragic making it last year, Goran Dragic from Miami Heat. I don't see a huge problem with that. Rose is averaging 19 points a game, just about, and he's completely transformed his game from his former MVP season. He's not just an ISO player where he can beat a guy one-on-one anymore with his pure athleticism. And now he's a good shooter. He's shooting 47% from three. He's a slasher now. He doesn't get to the rim as quickly. Like, he had 100 dunks in his MVP season. He's only had one this year, so obviously he doesn't have the hops. But he plays great around the rim now, and he's a leader. So he definitely is deserving of at least all-star, to be in the all-star conversation right now.
And you know what? I vote every year for the All-Star game. I love doing it. I love everything basketball, though. But I voted for Dwayne Wade as well, because it kind of is feeling like it's going to be his last season. And if Kobe Bryant can get an All-Star trip in his last season as kind of a lifetime achievement award more than he deserved it this year kind of deal, I think Dwayne Wade should be able to get a lifetime achievement All-Star trip. And he's doing more for his team this year than Kobe was doing for his team last year in his last season.
Right.
So I'm fine with it.
Yeah, right. So there is a topic there definitely to talk about, like whether guys like the end of Dwayne Wade's career should get the All-Star vote or Kobe Bryant. And I am fine with that. Like, I haven't voted this year yet, too, but I'll take a look at it. I might even end up doing that, too. Dwayne Wade definitely has a special spot in my heart. But you could have the same conversation with a guy like Derrick Rose right now. Like, how many years in the NBA do you think Rose realistically has? I mean, I honestly don't think people outside of Minnesota media realize how much that guy puts on the floor and like how long it takes him to rest. Like, how many years do you realistically think he has in the NBA?
I mean, I feel like it's at tops too, at the very top too, but I'm feeling like it's more likely that he's either they either somehow pull it out and get to a playoff game, or and then he kind of retires after, like, okay, so we made it to the playoffs, we made it to postseason, and now I'm retiring. Or he doesn't make it to the playoffs this year, and then he joins like a team like the Thunder or something after this year, and parts ways with the Timberwolves and tries to make one more run with a really good team and be, because he's got that mentality. He's got the right mentality now, right? I mean, he wants to be a sixth man of the year. He's fine with coming off the bench. He's fine with filling in on these roles. He's got the right mentality to join a really good team and maybe just fill in spots. So I think he might do that if he's not done this year, next year.
I completely agree. I think he has 2 to 3 years left. And like the basketball he's playing right now, I can really only see him doing that for another season, maybe two. So I think he, you know, leaves it all out on the floor maybe next year. I don't see him in a Minnesota Timberwolves jersey next year. Maybe that's a conversation for another day. But I could definitely see him doing a one-year deal with a team like the Thunder or Rockets or maybe even the Lakers next season. So, you know, regardless, I hope the best for Rose in the future. But I do think that him being a reserve all-star this year makes sense. Do I think he should be staying next to Stephen Curry? Absolutely not. But I'm sure that will change when the other votes come in.
I would love it so much if somehow that ended up as the way it landed for for the All-Star game. That would be the best.
It would be awesome, but I got to see Towns in there first, too. Make me happy.
Yeah, Towns has got to be an All-Star. He's putting up some serious numbers, especially this last week. But we'll get to him in a second. First, we're going to take a break for some sponsors. We can't just talk about the All-Star game, but I assure fans that around the corner, once everything is cemented, we'll have a podcast just about the All-Star team. But we're going to turn our attention now to the Orlando Magic. And I was looking at some stats, and this team, while they are pretty abysmal defensively, or offensively, excuse me, one of the last teams in the NBA in points per game, they have a pretty poor offensive rating. This season, one of the worst teams in that category as well. They're actually 14th in defensive rating. And it makes me think about what we were talking about yesterday, their length and their size and how they're able to use that. This team could pose a problem just because the goal might be keep the Timberwolves under 100, and that's the route for victory for the Orlando Magic. And I mean, while it's tough, I'm not saying they're a stellar defense. It's 14th, not 4, but they still have a sound defensive game. They still have some defensive pieces that can give the Timberwolves trouble. It really does feel like keep it under 100, and that's how the Magic hang in this game.
Yeah, where the Magic lose fans and their lack of having a solid facilitator at the point guard position because DJ Augustine doesn't do it for anybody, they make up for having like these solid 3-and-D wings. They have a ton of them. Even having a guy like Terrence Ross off the bench this year, who's definitely in the running for like a most improved player of the year. He's averaging close to 15 points a game and shooting over 40% from three and 50% from the field. I mean, he's having a really good year. Just having a guy like that come off the bench with Jonathan Simmons to be spark plugs is a big help to their guys who, you know, the starters on the floor, whether it's Nikola Vucevic or if it's Aaron Gordon. There's a couple different players. They have a couple different options to go to. So whoever's down on themselves, they can always throw to another guy. I think where Minnesota definitely has to attack, Orlando is their backcourt. They just have such a weak defensive backcourt. That's really only the reason they're 14th in the league. They're definitely a top 10 defense without having DJ Augustine in that lineup. But just like how you said yesterday, Orlando just hasn't had a solid point guard in so long. And so that's really where, you know, they falter. They're faltering right now. And if I'm Minnesota, I definitely try to attack that as much as possible. But, you know, breaking news in the past hour, Tom Thibodeau relayed that Robert Covington will be out for a while. So that's big news.
Yeah, that one hits you right where it hurts, just as far as the Timberwolves fans, for this Timberwolves team. And I'm looking at the injury report right now. And while it's not really there's not a conclusive return date. Excuse me, stumbled over my words here, but there's not a really solid return date. It does say that he did have a bone bruise, and so I don't know. I don't know what kind of rehab. And again, I'm not a doctor. I'm not smart enough for any of that stuff. So take this with a grain of salt. But I don't know how much rehab you can do for a bone bruise. I think you just kind of have to let it heal on its own. And that's why this could be maybe a week, maybe 10 days, something like that.
Yeah, definitely bone bruises are definitely, you got to just like rest. More than anything is rest. But this is the perfect, you know, calling card for a guy like Josh Okoki. Give him minutes. Give Josh Okoki minutes. Throw him the starting lineup if need be. He should be playing over 30 minutes in this Orlando game, not only because they're a young team that they're playing, but also we just have a lot of injuries right now. If Jeff Teague isn't back tonight or Derrick Rose, then Josh Okoki's got to get some big minutes. If you're going to play a guy like Tyus Jones, 40 minutes, just give some extra minutes to Okoki. He's a rookie. He deserves them. And, you know, they're going to give minutes to guys like Nemeli and Anthony Tolliver again, but why not give it to the rookie?
I do have some more news on the point guards here. According to the Star Tribune, Teague will make his return tonight against the Orlando Magic, so that's good. Add some depth for that backcourt because it does look like Derrick Rose is listed as doubtful, and I'm thinking that he's probably going to be out for this game. But it sounds like Derrick Rose, according to the Star Tribune, Jeff Teague, will be back for this game, so there will be at least some more depth at the backcourt for the Timberwolves. And you talked already about how important it was to attack the Magic's backcourt. And so I think if he's able to come back at even 80%, that would be helpful for the Timberwolves.
Yeah, for sure. That is huge news. I'm a huge critic on Jeff Teague. It's just big to have depth in these kind of games. Orlando is going to surprise a lot of average basketball fans, meaning that they only watch a few games here and there a week or every other week, because Orlando is a team that has, disrupted a lot of people's, hopes in the past this past season, because they're 17-20 team, but they're 3-1 in the past four games. They're a solid basketball team. Like I said yesterday, they're trying to fight out of this tanking regimen that they've been in. They want to make the playoffs again. And I don't blame them. You know, they're tired of losing. So you got to watch out for a team like this. They could really surprise you. But the number one thing to watch out here for, if you're a Minnesota Timberwolves fan, listeners, be ready for this game. Be ready for a huge Karl-Anthony Towns game. I'm going to say right now that Karl-Anthony Towns maybe has his best game this season, if not his biggest game this season, against Vucevic. He's a terrible defender, a great offensive player. We saw DeAndre Ayton have a career night against Vucevic not that long ago. Vuce has just been giving up buckets underneath the basket all season long. So I can just expect Towns just go off.
I like that. I like that call. I hope that you're right, because it definitely feels like another one of those games where they really need him to go off. And this is the classic Wiggins just doesn't show up game, right? it's right before the weekend when they're playing the Lakers. They just played the Celtics. It's kind of this lull in between two premier opponents where you're playing the Orlando Magic, not exactly the biggest team in the NBA right now. This feels like that lull where Wiggins just throws out, he goes like 1 for 9 and doesn't really do much of anything.
Maybe he heard our pod the other day and said that I think that Jonathan Isaac deserves his spot. So maybe he'll just, give it to Isaac and go crazy.
Gosh, I hope so. A fire in his belly. A couple things. First of all, I'm a little nervous about Aaron Gordon just because he plays really well against the Timberwolves. Last year, he put up 20 points in the two meetings they played. He averaged 20 points per game, 8 rebounds, and he was shooting 45%. And so I'm a little nervous about Aaron Gordon and what he does against the Timberwolves defense. And I think there's an opportunity there too where you have Towns and Eric Gordon kind of going shot for shot and bucket for bucket in this game.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, at this point, like I said before, like Towns, I'm expecting a 40-50 point night. Like I'm expecting one of his best nights of the season, or maybe even to last season, like how he did against the Hawks past year, 2018 in May. So I'm hoping for one of those big nights. I mean, Vucevic is like a really talented offensive powerhouse, like I've said. But on the defensive end, he's just, he doesn't cut it. He's really just a stretch four. So I want Towns to bully him underneath, and hopefully that can happen. And with Aaron Gordon, I'm not really sure how we're going to be able to stop him. If anything, I'd like to see Andrew Wiggins put a lot of effort on defense and just stay on top of him all the time. So I don't think Taj Gibson is going to be able to keep up with an Aaron Gordon.
last thing before we get to a break and then some predictions. The classic Timberwolves problem is to have former players bite them in the butt. Is Amile Jefferson going to be the biggest player tonight and the biggest reason is the Timberwolves lose? Or should we not worry about that?
Oh, no. I would hope not. I mean, if he is, then, oh, gosh. I mean, that's just – I'm just going to blame everything on Tom Thibodeau. You know, everything is Tom Thibodeau's fault. If something like that happens, it's Tibbs' fault. That's what I'm looking to.
All right. I just had to bring it up with their history, but I feel like we might be okay. He's only played one game for them this year. So I think we're going to be okay, but we'll see. We'll see how it goes down. Let's get some more sponsors in here, and then we'll get to some predictions. Timberwolves taking on the Magic. They are at home. First game of their two-game homestand before they hit the road again. And Trey and I, we're going to give out some predictions. We already heard that Trey thinks that Towns is going to have an absolutely monster, massive night. But I think that you're probably right. I also think that another key for this team, it might actually be Anthony Tolliver and Josh Okogie. And I think that it's more of their three-point shooting than their defense even that they need with Robert Covington out tonight. And so I think that how much Anthony Tolliver plays will be big, how much three-point shooting both he and Okogie make the difference in this game. I think that if they can knock down shots from the perimeter, I think that that will make a world of difference, and it'll make it a little easier on Towns down in the post as well. I think that's kind of the big matchups to watch right there.
I do agree that you definitely have to watch out for those two players. If anything, this just makes me more worried just seeing Robert Covington out. It kind of exemplifies the problem of Minnesota's roster right now. They're missing another wing that can shoot threes. They're essentially missing another 3-and-D wing. And if the answer is Anthony Tolliver, who's not really a true 3-and-D, or Josh Okogie, who's, you know, only been in the league for a couple months, I'm not sure that's the right answer. I think a guy like Justin Holiday, who just got traded last night to Memphis for essentially 2 second-round picks, would have been a really helpful acquisition. I know that we've talked about don't make too many trades. You're going to disrupt the roster. But I think this Robert Covington injury and this Derrick Rose injury proves that Minnesota maybe doesn't have enough offensive firepower. Or maybe Tom Thibodeau just isn't utilizing the guys, like you're saying, Anthony Tolliver or Josh Okogie, to the best of their abilities. So something definitely needs to change, whether it's another addition of a wing or just playing nearly more minutes or even Okogie or Tolliver. But I don't think you're wrong. I think a guy like Tolliver and Okogie, like, they definitely need more minutes and they definitely need to show up this game. Hopefully Thibodeau will give them those opportunities.
What's the package for Justin Holiday if the Timberwolves were able to pull that together? Like Gorgie, Teague, and like a few future picks?
I don't think Chicago would take on Gorgie. It would most likely have to be like Teague and probably a couple second round picks. I think that's all it would have done. I would have honestly given Teague in like a late protected first round pick and then gotten Justin Holiday. But that's just me fighting for the playoffs as a Minnesota, you know, fan and also a writer. Like, I would like them to go for the playoffs again. And those kind of deals are worth it to get out of a bad contract when you know you have Tyus Jones and Derrick Rose. And also you get a solid 3-and-D guy to play through, you know, the rest of the postseason with you to back up Robert Covington.
I know that we're talking about the Magic, but I'm gonna go down this rabbit hole really quickly with you just because we're always talking a little bit about trades, I feel like. And do you think there's going to be a point during this month where the Pelicans figure out they probably don't have a chance for Anthony Davis and there's like a fire sale on that team? Or is that something that happens next year?
So my own personal opinion is that I don't think New Orleans moves Anthony Davis right now until next season before the trade deadline, just because of the offers that they might be getting called for. Like, for example, they're not going to move on a Jaylen Brown, Gordon Hayward, and a first-round pick deal. They won't take that. And they're definitely not going to take Ingram and Hart in a first-round pick. They're going to wait out on the right guy, the right deal. For example, if I'm Golden State right now, I'm offering Klay and Draymond the first-round pick for Anthony Davis. Like, just right now, I'm doing that. Like, I don't think that's a hot take. Like, I think that that's common sense, and it's obvious that they should make that move. And if I'm New Orleans, I think about that. That's a really good deal for two All-Stars. But I don't think they're getting the offer the right guys. Unfortunately, teams like Minnesota don't have a lot to work with in terms of trading for a guy like Anthony Davis, or most of the teams in the league. So only three teams I can think of making that move right now would be Boston, LA, or Golden State. And Boston or LA will only offer more until it comes down to the deadline next season. So ultimately, New Orleans is probably going to wait until next season unless a team like Golden State is willing to offer one of their all-stars or both.
Just because I don't think that the Timberwolves are going to trade for Anthony Davis or anything like that. But if the Pelicans are thinking, you know what, we're going to, there's some really great offers. We're going to sell him high now and just avoid the potential for injury. He has had some injury problems, and avoid the potential for injuries next season to really ruin some trades. We're going to do this now, pull the trigger on it now. Some teams are really excited about having him for a year and a half before they have to re-sign him up. And so we're going to take advantage of that. If that situation happens, maybe the Timberwolves are able to scoop up someone like Moore off that roster for some draft picks if they promise a bunch of first-round pick and maybe give them Teague as well. And maybe that's a situation where you're able to scoop somebody like him up. And that's another player who would add three-point shooting for the Timberwolves, add some depth for the Timberwolves. But that's just a big hypothetical more than anything else.
No, I love that idea. If Davis does end up getting sent out and they want to rebuild, you know, right now or even next season, Etwan Moore is a great underrated player in this league right now, only making $8 million. He's had a really solid season, and a lot of questions were, you know, people have been asking a lot of questions whether Etwan Moore deserved that contract that he got a few years ago. And now he's proving that he can, definitely off the bench. So he's a solid six man. And it's going to be a guy like Etwan Moore or Terrence Ross or Justin Holiday, those kind of players that would push Minnesota to that eighth seed, because they're obviously missing one guy. They're missing another wing, essentially.
All right, that's enough of that rabbit hole. To finish out this podcast, I really think that the Timberwolves grab a win here at home. I just don't think that the offense for the Orlando Magic is enough to push past a really solid night from Towns, from Teague, from a bunch of the guys they have on this roster. Even if Wiggins doesn't show up, I think that this is a victory for the Timberwolves. I'm seeing something like 108-96 for this game.
Yeah, I like that too. I think it'll be a little bit closer, maybe like a 8-point spread. But, you know, I just like Karl Anthony Towns in this game. I think, you know, I also think Vucevic is going to take advantage of Karl Anthony Towns' lack of defense sometimes when he puts so much on the offensive end. I can just see Towns blowing up and being like, enough of this. We need to make the playoffs. We need a win right now. The standings are way too close for us to fall right now. And guys like LeBron James are injured. Let's take advantage of the Lakers. Like, let's take advantage of the Los Angeles Clippers for their injuries and their lack of stardom. So, like, it's time. It's, you know, now or never. So Karl Anthony Towns definitely has to step up tonight. And I like this game around, like, maybe 106-98, 106-100. And a big 40-point-ish night from Karl Anthony Towns.
All right, you heard it here first from the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.